Well, yes, today is a celebratory day, and I am seeing faces all over our building that I have not seen for a long time. Some of you I recognize. You ladies do such a good job of fixing hair, but you don't realize how it changes your appearance. You gentlemen, you have a sure way of losing hair and turning white. But we love you, and we're thankful that you're here. One of the things that we wanted to do today was we wanted to recognize people that have been at this church for a long time. So let me ask you this. If you've been a member of this church for 10 years, would you please stand up? At least 10 years. Or maybe I should rephrase that. Let's say, if you've been around this church for at least 10 years, would you please stand up? At least 10. There you go. Now we're getting there. See, I'm saying this properly. If you've been around here since you were a teenager, make sure you're standing. No, I didn't mean you had to sit down yet. At least 10 years. Now, if you've been less than 20 years, you can sit down. If you've been less than 30 years, you can sit down. If you've been around this place on a regular basis, well, and I won't even qualify it that way. If you've been around this place for 40 years, you can sit down. For less than 40 years. The rest of you, we want to give you a big round of applause. Let's see. Brenda, how long have you been coming here? 50 years. Claudette, how many years? 50 years. How many years? 50? 40? Joe? 50? Miss Burkett? 46. She's got it figured out. She had her calculator. How about you? 80. I knew you wouldn't remember. So, Jean, how long has he been coming to church here?
Well, since 1970.
Since 1970? Yeah. She doesn't have a calculator.
Yeah.
When I first came here, Jack Holton was one of the elders. Jack, how long have you been coming, Jack and Edna, how long y'all been coming here? 1968. Give all these people a round of applause, would you? Now, if you have... If you can be seated for a minute, because some of you may have to stand back up here in just a second. If you were there on that very first Sunday, if you met with them over in the elementary school, if you were here on that very first Sunday, would you please stand up? Okay, all right, there we go. And I think some of you are charter members. Remain standing. We have a gift for every one of you that have been faithful to the Lord now for 50 years. Would you please remain standing? I think we have gifts somewhere. Here they come. Nirvana gets one. Joe gets one. Wendell got one last hour. He and Helen got one last hour. Now, I wanted to recognize other special people here today. If you are a minister... and you've been ministering and you grew up around the Fairdale Church, would you please stand up right now? A minister, if you're a preacher or a minister of any sort, leading worship. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. These guys, give them a round of applause. Do we have enough gifts for them too? Yeah, make sure Tom and Alice get one and Scotty gets one and Michael gets one. Guys, I just want you to know, we could sit here and play these kind of games all day, but I really want to thank you for being here today. And I know there are many of you that have special things that you wanted to share with. I was trying to think about things that made Fairdale unique. And maybe you think that preparing to preach on a 50th anniversary is easy. Forget it. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never preached for a 50th anniversary. Maybe 10s, maybe 15s, but never a 50. And I got to thinking about what made the Fairdale Church unique and what has made us, I think, great over a long period of time. And there are things that happened that I think Tom Mobley, our first youth minister, Tom is here today, and Wendell Cox, who is here today, that these two men actually kind of instituted that I think we've carried out over 50 years that have made us unique. One of those, yeah, give those guys a round of applause. It's amazing that they can still walk in here, but other than that, a couple of things that they started years ago that I think has been great for the Fairdale Church is for 50 years, we have paid half for every teenager that wants to go to White Mills Camp. Now here's something. If you went to White Mills Camp, would you please stand up? Yeah. Now you can start to see how lives have been changed because your dollars paid for half all these kids to go to camp. And they're not kids anymore. Some of them are. Yeah, you're right. Some of them are. I mean, you paid for me to go to camp. But of course, it was only $8 in those days. But I think something else that has made the Fairdale Church very unique over a long period of time is we have put a lot of guys on the field. I mean, many, many, many preachers, music guys. I started trying to make a list. And I was doing pretty good when I was just thinking about preachers. But then I started thinking about all the worship guys. You know, Bo's over at Fern Creek. Jason's at South Louisville. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, all the worship guys. Michael, he's coming in. He's telling me he's now at a church in Dallas leading worship. And these guys that went to Bible college, the guys and girls that are now on the mission field and going different places and carrying out the word, you paid for half of their tuition. And we're still doing that, by the way. We would encourage you to think about becoming a minister of some sort. It really doesn't matter what. And it doesn't even matter. I've had kids come to me before and they say, well, Ron, I really think I might want to go to Bible college. I might want to be called into the ministry, but I'm not sure whether I am or not. I would encourage them to go and let us pay for half of your tuition. If it doesn't make, pay it back sometime. Or don't pay it back sometime. Because a lot of people that go to Bible college or go to into with a thought of ministry, maybe they don't go into a paid ministry, but they're the people that are winding up serving today. They're the people that served your communion and taught the Sunday school class and our youth, the youth leaders and our children's leaders. They are the people that are working every day in the church. And I think that's what's made us unique. I don't even know how many people we've put on the field, but I think we need to keep doing that. You keep sending kids to camp. Keep paying for youth ministers. It's, you know, our Father, our Heavenly Father, owns the cattle on a thousand hills, so we're not going to run out of money, and we're not going to run out of resources. It's just not going to happen. If God's in it, it will be paid for. We can't run out, and we can't outspend Him. Well, I started preaching on a different topic than I was meaning to be. I could go there for a while if you wanted me to. In the beginning, there were 17 Christian churches known as the Greater Louisville Evangelizing Association, and they were looking for a location to start a new church, and they chose Fairdale. They began by calling Wendell Cox, who was a minister at Erlanger Church of Christ in Erlanger, Kentucky. And he came to Fairdale on March the 1st, 1965, to begin preparing to preach and establish a church called the Fairdale Christian Church. On Easter Sunday, April the 18th, 1965, that first service was held at the South Park Elementary School. And for those of you who don't realize that, that's now the South Park Tap School over on National Turnpike. And that's where we met for the first 6 months of our church in 1965. There were 56 present for Bible study that day, and 87 came to church. On October the 10th in 1965, there was a total charter membership of 61. Now, have I already had those charter members stand up? If you were a charter member and I didn't recognize you, would you please stand up? Because I don't know that I worded that very well. In any case, we are so thankful for that group of people who laid the foundation for future years. In October the 30th of 1966, the new building was built. And on November the 20th, 1966, a dedication service was held with that new building with 300 people in attendance. And I want you to know that new building was half of the H. It was just one long little piece in the middle and the crossbar of the H. That's where we met for church. That's about the time I started coming here. I grew up on a farm. You could see it right back over here. My brother still lives there. So when they built the church here, my family started coming to church here. So I got a lot of history at the Fairdale Church. But we are here today to celebrate 50 years, and we are thankful that you are here. And I'm trying to figure out ways for us to talk about what the Fairdale Church has done and what it has meant. So I've chosen to preach from Matthew chapter 13 about the parable of the sower, or the story of planting and reaping. I'm not going to put a lot of that story on the screen. If you want to turn to it, I'll make reference to it. It's Matthew chapter 13. Now, in the beginning of chapter 13, Jesus is preaching from a boat, as he does lots of times. He steps into the boat and he starts to preach, and he's telling the people a parable. Now, a parable is a story that's thrown along beside of a story. You see the word parallel in parable? So there's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's two stories. And he's speaking to people who understand farming. I was thinking about this the other day, you Fairdale people. When I first started preaching here, we were a farming community. We used to put out little tables out in front of our church, and everybody bring in their tomatoes and their cucumbers and their corn. And I didn't have to buy any vegetables all week long. And we just trade that stuff out. You know, many, many Sundays and I never locked my truck, because if I were to lock my truck, then I wouldn't get my vegetables. And I looked forward to getting homegrown vegetables from the Fairdale Church, because they'd be in my truck whenever I went out. But then after a little while, we changed. We weren't quite as much a farming community. But these people Jesus is talking to, they're a farming community, and they understand seeds, and they understand what happens with seeds are planted. In verse 3, he talks about the farmer going out to sow seed. Now, this is something I want you to know from the very, very beginning. The Fairdale Church has been faithful about sowing seed for 50 years, and it has been great seed. It's the only seed that matters. It's the only seed that will give you everlasting life. It's the only seed that grows in you and produces something that will outlive you here on this earth. You see, we have spread great seed, and this farmer goes out and he spreads great seed, and some of it falls on the path, and the path is a hard place. And what happens? The birds come along and eat it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had trouble with birds before. I had a crazy cardinal, and I'm a cardinal fan, but I had a crazy cardinal at my house that wouldn't leave my car window alone. That crazy cardinal kept pecking on my side view mirror. And I'd come out and there'd be little white marks all over my mirror and all over the side of my car. I tried to chase him off. I got one of Luke's old BB guns and I was going to pop him. But then I thought, if I pop him, I'm going to also break one of the windows in my car. Chasing birds just doesn't work. You can't do it. And so what happens is, some of the seed falls on the hard ground and the birds eat it. Verse 5 says, some falls on the rocky places. And this is a shallow soil, and it sprang up quickly. And the sun comes out and withers it. And there's not much growth because there's not much root. Every time I read this passage, I'm reminded. For years, I worked up at Lincoln Hills Christian Church in Corydon, Indiana. And every Sunday, I'd cross over that Sherman-Minton Bridge. And one Sunday, I'm driving across that bridge, and I look over there close to one of those drains, just as you get up on the bridge. I mean, but there's water underneath. This is not corn growing up right there beside of that drain. It's about this tall. I assume what has happened is some truck has gone through there, dropped a piece of corn, it found enough ground to take root, and it's about this tall. Do you think there's going to be any fruit from that piece of corn? Nah. Because there's no root. Couldn't be much root because there's no dirt. You see, that's what happened right here in this particular place. Some falls on hard places. Some falls on rocky places where it's shallow, and the verse 6 says the sun comes out and it withers and there's not much growth because there's not much root. Verse 7 says the sower keeps sowing good seed, and other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke it out. I mean, I teach middle school. You think I don't see peer pressure every day? Kids pushed into things that they don't really want to be pushed into. And then some falls on the good soil. And that great seed that falls on good soil produces a crop 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And a little later, the disciples, they ask Jesus specifically, they say, well, why did you tell this story and what does it mean? And he tells them in verse 19, he said, well, the person that hears the word and does not understand it, the evil one comes and he takes the seed away. And this is the seed that fell by the path. And there's no fruit and there's no harvest. The good seed that falls on the rocky places, on the shallow ground, that's the person that hears the word and receives it with joy, but he has no root. And so it only lasts for a short time. And so when trouble comes or persecution, they quickly fall away. And there's no fruit. And there's no harvest. In verse 22, he says, some of the seed falls on the thorns. And those are the people that hear the word and the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth. They choke it out. And there's no fruit and there's no harvest. And then sometimes it falls on the good soil. And that's the person that hears the word and understands it and produces a crop 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, I picked this story because as I was thinking about the Fairdale Church, I think over 50 years, a lot of us at times we've been every one of these soils. We've been ones that were distracted and carried away by the birds. We've fallen on hard times, shallow ground, and we've grown up quickly and maybe got picked away. I think sometimes we've been every one of these situations and we've let the thorns push us back down. And I think at times we've been the good soil that produces a good return. But I also think that our church has been every one of these soils and these positions as well. There have been times that things were great around here. And we thought we were growing wonderfully and something would happen. The sun would come up and we'd get squelched back. The birds would come along and those nasty cat birds, they'd come along and carry us away. I'm glad somebody got that. Thank you, my dear. Don't start. Okay, I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. I think we've been every one of these positions, and our church certainly has. And so when we look at the law of sowing and reaping, we're going to see that the law of averages takes place. The story of the parable of the sower really just means that the sower had these qualities. He was ambitious. And I mean, Brandon, I love a day like this when our seats are all full. I'm ambitious. I want to see a lot of people in the kingdom. I hope whenever I get to heaven, the Lord says, all you from Fairdale Christian, raise your hand. All of those who attended church there, and there'll be thousands of us. And we'll all say, yay! And we've got our own little wing in the Father's house, you know? Yeah, woo, is right. I mean, I want to be there, and I want you to be there. So I'm an ambitious sower. I want to sow that seed, and I have excellent seed. I have the best seed that could possibly be. I have the best product because it's the only product that's going to give you everlasting life. And then as I'm sowing the seed, or as the church continues to sow that seed, as the Fairdale Church has continued to sow that seed, some of it the birds get. And that's the guy that we invite to church, or we bring him to Bible study, and we can't figure out why he doesn't come back, or why he wouldn't come the first time if you invited him. And we know that the seed is good, but somebody just stole his seed. And we can't leave the field and go chase birds. We don't want to get distracted chasing that around. That's not what God tells us to do. What does God tell us to do? Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Just keep on sowing. We can outsow the birds. That's literally what the Bible is telling us. Just keep on sowing the seed. The great seed will outsow the birds. Secondly, the hot weather gets some of the people. It falls on rocky ground, shallow ground. I mentioned the corn stalk. It's still excellent seed, and it starts to grow, but then it falls away. And I'm going to be very honest with you. As a minister for years, I thought I could change that. I can't. You can't. You know who can? God. He's the only one that can change concrete into willing soil. He's the only one that can come into your life and change your hard heart. And he can, if we will allow him. So what's our job to do? Keep on sowing. We got to outsow the birds, and we've got to outsow the hard ground, the shallow ground. Through discipline, and it takes discipline to keep on sowing, and disappointment, our job is to keep sowing. Thirdly, we keep sowing the great seed, and some falls on the thorny ground. And it starts to grow, but quickly dies. The little cares of life. I remember one time I had a guy that I loved. And I thought he was going to be a great worker in the church. And he came for a while, and I thought he was growing up wonderfully. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, I had a meeting I wanted him to come to. And I was thinking, man, this guy's going to do something great in the Lord. And you know what he told me? I've got to fix my screen door. Fix your screen door. When you get to heaven, God's got a house that has a door on it that you will never have to work on. So you don't have to fix the windows. You don't have to fix the screen doors. Those little things, taking out the trash, don't let little things cheat you out of big opportunities. You can't let somebody else influence you and drag you down and keep you from the great opportunities of life. But those of us who are in the body, our job is what? Keep on sowing. Great seed. The great word. The only word that changes people's lives. Keep on sowing. Keep on sharing the story. Keep on giving the invitation. And we'll get better at it the more we do it. Because finally, some of that great seed's going to fall on great ground. And it always will if you keep on sowing. And it'll produce a crop of 30, 60, or 100-fold. I've also tried to figure out why does some of it only produce 30, and some of it only produces 60, and some of it produces 100. To be very honest, I've tried planting plants before. And I always thought if I got two or three times whatever I put in there, I'd done pretty good. Much less 30, 60, or 100. Same seed, good ground. Why is some of it 30, some of it 60, some of it 100? I don't have the answer to that. Only God knows the answer to that. But the truth of the matter is, if we keep on sowing, there will be a great harvest. And if we can reap that great harvest, we keep on sowing, God knows there will be a great harvest.
Now, God did not give us a small commission. He did not give us a small commission, but Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, He gave us a great commission. And many of you are familiar with it. You know, you've heard it before, but Matthew 28, in case you need a refresher, this is what Jesus says. This is the challenge for us today. He says in Matthew 28, verse 19, He says, go. He says, I want you to go. I want you to go, and I want you to make disciples of all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach them everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. My prayer, my deepest desire for Fairdale Christian Church is that we will be that good soil. That we will be that good soil, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that I believe with all my heart, and I know that with the power of the Spirit, that we can have the greatest days, that the greatest days can be ahead of us. That we've had a rich history, but I believe that God is doing something in us. Now, I don't know if you've felt it lately, but as we look around the things that are happening in the life of our church, and as I look at our youth, as I look at our seniors, as I look at everybody in between, and our kids, and what's happening in our community, and ways that we've been able to reach out and partner and help and serve, and the people that step up to the plate again and again. And I just almost feel like we're pregnant. That's the best way I can describe it. It just feels like we're pregnant. There is this anticipation. There's this expectation, this longing of something is coming. Something great is at the threshold. We're right at the door, and I feel it, and I know that God is up to something in us. He's up to something in our church, and it's been evident through all the things happening. God providing for us in unbelievable ways. Just incredible things. And my heart is that we'll be that good soil. That we will be ready to receive the good seed. That we'll be ready to yield a tremendous harvest for God's kingdom. And one thing I want to point out, I want to apply it to us this morning. But in Matthew 13 that Ron has been in, the parable of the sower, the different soils, Jesus explaining the meaning of all of this. What's the story behind the story? In this parable, what is behind it? And in verse 23, Jesus unpacks it for us a bit, what it looks like to be the good soil. And this is what He says in verse 23 of Matthew 13. It says, the seed, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and he understands it. He hears it and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, you may see that and say, what's the big deal? You know, okay, 30, 60, 100, you know, maybe they're different, but what's the big difference? What's the deal? But the listeners in Jesus' day would have said, are you serious about this? 30 times, because for them, if they're planting seeds, and they're, as Ron said, farming community, they're very familiar with the way this works. Megan and I, before we came to Fairdale, we spent about 8 years in Illinois. And where we were in that area, if you've ever been through that area of the country, a big farming community, corn and soybeans, farmers that are farming thousands of acres at a time. And you see these guys out there, many of them that were in our church, you see them out in the fields and they're walking the fields and they're picking up some dirt and they're going like this and looking at it and I don't know, playing some kind of game or doing whatever they're doing, throwing it up in the air, watching how it blows, and they're looking at how's the crop coming up, because it's real temperamental. You get too much rain, not a good yield. Get too little, not good either. So are we going to have a bumper crop? Is it going to be less than average? Where are we going to be this year? And they're checking things out. And certainly in Jesus' day, they would have known, you sow seeds, you may get an eightfold return, or a tenfold return would be great, but 30 or 60 or 100-fold? Where are you going to get this seed from? This is some great stuff. And in other words, God is going to do more in you spiritually than you ever thought was possible. He wants to do a work in you that you never believed could take place. The work of the Spirit is going to be so profound in your life that it is going to be unbelievable. People around you are going to be able to see it and feel it and experience it because it is so incredible. Your family will be different. You young guys, your schools can be different. I mean that, really. Your schools can be different because of the power of God at work in you. The people you work with will be different. There will be generations to come. Those that aren't even born yet. They're not even a thought at this moment. They're not even a twinkle in their parents' eyes. Their parents haven't even met yet. Generations that will be changed and transformed because of the work of God in your life. Because of the impact that you will have. This would be a tremendous return. And at Fairdale Christian, this is my prayer. My prayer is that we will continue to have a tremendous impact for generations and generations to come. The good soil, Jesus said, is the man who hears and understands. This is the person that internalizes it. That they believe it. They trust it. They know it's true. They know that God is on my side and with Him all things are possible. That even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't understand what's coming ahead, we're trusting. I don't have all the answers, but we're going to obey. If He says go, I'm going to go. If He says stay, I'm going to stay. If He says now, I'm going to do it now. If He says wait, I'll be patient. But we are going to walk in step with the Spirit and we are going to know and keep pressing in and keep obeying and keep showing up and knowing that God is up to something in us that we may not fully see or understand. But He's at work and we're going to keep believing that He'll be faithful no matter what. That's the good soil. That's the person that's ready to receive where God brings about a harvest through His Spirit that produces this incredible return and result. That's the person that says this gospel, this message, this word from God, this mission that Jesus placed in our hands is so important. It's so vital that we won't stop at anything to see Christ lifted up. And to see lives transformed by the power of the Spirit. That we'll do whatever it takes. And we won't stop. I heard a pastor one time, a guy that I follow every now and then, he said of his church, he says, in our church, we will do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. And I just love that. I just think, how awesome. He says, we'll do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. If there are people out there that nobody else is reaching, then we're going to do things that nobody else is doing to reach those people because it's too important, it's too vital that we reach these people and tell them about the saving news of Jesus Christ, that they come into relationship with Him. It's too important to us. So we'll do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes to reach those people. It doesn't matter if the world thinks we're crazy. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make any earthly sense or if people hate us or we go through tough stuff. We'll do anything to reach people, to reach the world for Christ and to share with them the grace of our Lord Jesus. And that's what our mission is all about. We've got it plastered on the wall out there, and that's intentional because I want it to be in front of us every time we walk out of these doors on Sunday. You know, we think, why did we get here? Why did we gather here on Sunday mornings? And to me, it almost kind of feels like a pep rally. You know, we're getting excited, we're getting pumped up, we're ready to go back out and to be the church. To be salt and light and love people and share Jesus and our mission, reaching out, growing strong, giving back. That is all about the Great Commission, about going, reaching, growing strong. That's about making disciples, becoming a disciple, being completely committed and giving back. We're teaching, we're loving our community. We're giving generously to those in need and supporting and partnering and being Jesus. And you imagine what would happen if we did this? What would happen in your life spiritually speaking? What could happen in your life if you could have 30, 60, 100 fold that product of the seed, if that were growing in your life? My desire is that we would be a church where everyone is changed. That we don't just come in here and sing some songs and do some stuff, you know, pass the little shot glasses around and, you know, do all that stuff and then walk back out. You know, that we would be changed. That we would be transformed. That there would be a marked difference in our lives. Romans 10 tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we come in here on Sundays, we all enter with baggage. You've brought baggage with you. We bring pain. We bring some hurt in this place. Some of us, maybe you've even got secrets. Or you've got addictions that nobody knows about. Or maybe some people do know. But you bring that with you as well. And it hurts. You've got your secrets. And this verse is saying that when you come in here, you can come just as you are. You come with that. You bring that baggage, but if you come here with that and you truly call on the name of the Lord, you will leave this place changed. He will begin a good work in you, and it's going to produce a crop. It's going to be incredible. He says that's a promise from the Scripture. You can be changed and new. You can have a fresh start. It can happen today for you. That produces That good soil produced 30, 60, up to 100 times what was sown. What would that look like for you spiritually? You got a lot of hurt. You got a lot of baggage. You got a lot of stuff. If God were to begin something new in you to bring a harvest, what would it look like in our church? You think about that. What would it look like at Fairdale Christian if every person said, we're going to be good soil. We're going to go out from here. You think about the change that could happen, not just here, but the change that would happen in Fairdale. The change that would happen in Jefferson County, in our nation, our world, if the people of God were committed and say, Lord, have your way in us. Where you say go, we'll go. If you say stay, we'll stay. Whatever you want us to do, we're here. Here we are. Send us. Use us. Work through us. Fill us with your Spirit and send us out into your harvest field. Galatians 6, the Bible gives us a promise and a challenge. In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Some of you, maybe you felt this. You feel tired. You know, we're plugging along. Some of you have been here 50 years. I imagine there's times that you feel tired. You feel a little weary. The Bible says, don't be weary. Don't become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, when the time's just right, you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It says you keep pressing on, you keep pushing, you keep casting the seed, and you wait expectantly, knowing that there is going to be a harvest that comes because God uses our faithfulness. And he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Let us keep sowing that seed, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I know some of you are hurting. You're hurting over a family member that you've been praying for a long, long time. You want them to come to know the Lord. You want to see them in heaven someday. Those of you that you have neighbors or other people, friendships, coworkers that you've been praying for, you've been inviting, you've been saying, man, we want you to come. We want you to know this Jesus. The Bible encourages us, it promises us, that there is a harvest to be reaped if we do not give up, if we keep pressing, if we keep sowing, and as we move forward, I am so excited about pressing on, loving our community, being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in our world.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was over at Southeast, and I heard Kyle Idleman use this illustration. He tells the story of the Chinese bamboo tree. And he talks about the farmers who plant the seed for a crop of Chinese bamboo. And he says that when they plant the seed, they know they work the ground, they plant the seed, and that it lays dormant for 5 years. They plant the seed, and in the first year, there's nothing. No little plants. Second year, no little plants. Not even a little bit of growth. The third year, not even a little bit of growth. The fourth year, you still absolutely see nothing. That's how long it takes the seed to germinate. And in the fifth year, that seed comes up, and in 60 days, it grows 90 feet. 9 basketball goals, it grows in 60 days. But it took 5 years to get there. Friends, as Brandon was saying just a minute ago, I think we may have worked for 50 years to get to this point today. It's time for us to grow 90 feet. And it's not time for us to get weak or shallow. It's time for us to be strong. And there may be some of you here today that would like to accept Jesus as your Savior for the very first time. If that's true, we have water. It's warm. It's ready for you. We got robes. We've got towels. We are ready to receive you, to enable you to be baptized today. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, gosh, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that next 50 years for Fairdale Christian Church. I want my legacy to be there, and I want to be a member of the Fairdale Christian Church. We're going to offer an invitation in just a minute, just for that purpose. So if you want to place your membership with us, if you want to be baptized, there's no time like today. You come while we stand and sing. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your many blessings. I especially thank you for the Fairdale Christian Church. We thank you for the seed that has been faithfully sown here. And we ask in Jesus' name, if there's someone here today that would like to claim you as their Savior, be baptized or confess you before men, become a member of this church, that they would come as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray. Please stand and sing with us.